for the.
Charles Xavier's mutant abilities are phenomenally strong.
Whole cake. Whole's got to eat too, right?
Right, you're right.
That's right, Whole's got to eat.
Free socks.
For the.
Try to.
Batman Almighty Triple XL coming to you live and direct from MagCity.
Check 1-2, Fat Mac, Almighty Triple XL. Chiming in one time for your mind. That's right, man. It is time. It is time. It is time. Yeah, man. Me and Magneto back in the game, man. Setting up shop. Doing a full-length feature show that will be posted, of course, on the Liberated Syndicate and iTunes. I don't know what's going on with my iTunes shit, man. A lot of weird shit going on with my account. But I'm about to put this joint on there anyway. And so today, I want to go ahead, I want to talk about, there's something going on, a schism with Zaza Ali and Professor Griff, and what was the other one? Well, basically, the main thing I really want to tackle, of course, is...
Do we hate black women in Bambaataa?
Yeah, Bambaataa. And I had an email from a new listener, man, this cat named Keon out of Boston, Massachusetts. And, of course, man, that series of podcasts we did about Becky versus the Skillet, I'm not understanding why most of these niggas is so hurt about us saying that, you know, from all intents and purposes, you know, we just, you know, this is what we hear, and this is what we observe, that white women are just more, a little bit more agreeable, a little bit more manageable and shit, you know. So, I just want to ask you, from the bottom of your heart, Tony, do you hate black women?
Only ones.
Hold on. I can't hear you.
The only ones I date are black women. I date strictly black women. Uh-huh. I hate the fuckery that they do, but nah, I don't hate black women.
Right. So you're saying it's possible to critique black women behavior and still date them?
Yes.
Really?
Here's the thing. Yes, but to still date them, yeah, it's possible to critique something. It's possible to critique what you love.
Oh.
See what I'm saying? Okay. It's possible. But here's the thing. What people haven't recognized is that we've gone through a whole era where you've produced an entirely different dating community.
Right.
With entirely different rules and entirely different standards, morals, and ethics. Mm. And that's what they haven't caught on to. So when we talk about that shit, and we talk about the power trick, just to catch people up, that is really just a means for us to adapt to the present state of affairs.
Okay.
And so when we talk about black, see, they think that the black woman of today, or some of them may think that the black woman of today is the black woman of the 70s, the 80s, 70s, and 60s. This is not the same black woman.
Okay.
This is not that woman that you know, y'all want to romanticize and champion. It's not that same woman.
Okay.
And what you also have is there are a lot of grievances that are pinned up in the souls of a lot of niggas that hadn't really gotten out there yet. And it came, and these grievances were created as a result of some of the changes that affected our community as a result of liberal feminism, as a result of white liberals, and just the passage of time, I would say. Mm-hmm. So it's produced a lot of different contradictions. And those contradictions have been very, 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 very important, very, very significant, very painful contradictions. So people don't get that when you're making these criticisms, they're based on these contradictions. They sit here thinking we're talking about, you know, all black women. We're not talking about all black women. We're talking about most black women, because the black women of today do not come from stable homes. Okay. Hell, most of the black kids of today don't come from stable homes. And we're looking at the dating pool and the rules of engagement with respect to dating in this present time. And that's the only thing that we're saying. That's what we're critiquing. We're critiquing criticisms that have always been there, but people have been afraid to say. Mm. So, you know, when you hear us talk about, you know, the difficulty, I mean, all you have to do is look at television. I mean, all you have to do is just, you don't even have to look at television. All you have to take for one example. Now, I'll give you Eve.
Okay.
Eve, the rapper.
Right.
Now, just a minute ago, she was talking about she was a pit bull with a skirt.
Right.
She described herself as a pit bull with a skirt. Maybe they say, oh, that's because she was rapping and she was in a predominantly male-oriented field or whatever, man. You know, and then when they portrayed her in the role that they portrayed her in Barbershop, she was this loud, angry, neck-rolling chicken head.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you can't do something that's too far out of a stretch for your character. And that type of persona and personality is symbolic of what you have in urban America as far as dating is concerned. But yet when she got with the white man, what happened? What did she become?
She got tame. She got docile on his ass.
Yeah. Yeah, she got tamed and docile.
Right.
You know, black women, when they deal with black men, they're emasculating.
Right.
They are emasculated. But when they deal with the white man, you know, they're in check. Mm. And that comes from these undertones of saying, who really runs this society? See, you subconsciously know, there's a psychic intuition that you know who's in charge. You know power when you see it. Mm-hmm. Just like some of these renegade bitches that jump up in people's faces and they got that slick mouth and shit.
Right.
You know, everything out their mouth is something greasy. But they know who to talk like that to, and they know who not to talk like that to.
Okay.
They know not to run their mouth like that in front of them G-niggas, because them G-niggas gonna slap the taste out their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
See, even an animal, and I'm not saying black women are animals, I'm saying even animals understand violence.
Yeah.
Even animals understand force. Even animals understand with all these personality disorders and all these things that we said supposed to be wrong with them, they understand force when they see it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only so much leeway you can give them. So the point I'm saying is that when we make these criticisms, we're making these criticisms based on firsthand observation. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're making these criticisms based upon experiences. A lot of my criticisms comes from experiences that I've been in with these females.
Right.
You see. So when you tend to be passionate, people tend to think, you know, that it's hate or whatever, or that it is disappointment. And to quote a line, they said, well, there could be no great disappointment where there is no great love. So it's not a sense of we hate them. It's a sense of this is the bullshit that you confronted with. And the only thing we're doing is explaining it and explain how to deal with it and how to survive it, because at the end of the day, it has real consequences. See, you don't have no hookup with the court downtown.
Right.
You know, when the police come to your house, if it's another nigga involved, 9 times out of 10, they gonna take your word because it's your house. Mm-hmm. But that situation changes if it involves a male and a female.
Right.
Because when they come out there, they automatically are gonna take her side a lot of times, especially if she's the first one to the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're doing is acknowledging the fact that the white man, or that this society, well, in some instances, roll over, and black women have a certain degree of power which they're not ashamed to use against black men, because they see black men really as a symbol of, they see him as a kind of subject of the white man.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, they don't really have to be bound by his rules. They don't really have to be bound by his dictates or bound by his ethics, because in reality, the white man got them. That's how they see it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they see it. They think that the white man got their back. They think that the white man will protect them. They think that the white man will always shield them. Well, that works till he gets tired of them. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, I can remember, I'll give you another example. Superhead wrote that book. Corinne Stephens, Superhead, wrote that book and put all them niggas on blast in that book.
Yeah.
And she did that shit voluntarily. She was sucking Jay-Z's dick to get in the Big Pimpin' video.
Okay.
She was sucking Ludacris and Ja Rule and Irv Gotti. You know, she was the kick at home. You know, she was the holler back bitch. She was a fuck bitch. But then, you know, when she couldn't get what she wanted from them, just like what we deal with, you know, when they was putting her on videos and giving her exposure, she was fine.
Right.
But when she couldn't get what she wanted from them, what's the first thing she did? She put them on blast in a book.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She put every. But when she went with that white man from Real Time, Bill Maher.
Right.
When she started dating Bill Maher, and Bill Maher was fucking her. You know, she didn't put none of Bill Maher's personal business on blast, did she?
Nah, I ain't heard a peep about it. I ain't heard a peep about that.
And he called her worthless and ghetto.
Right.
You know.
Okay.
And the only thing she said about him was that he tends to date down. Most powerful white men tend to date down. It's always the black stripper or, you know, the black porn star. Well, of course, because they don't see you as any real. That's the E thing is a few cases, but most and foremost, white men really are trying to relive or really trying to exercise a lot of their sexual curiosities about black women. Mm-hmm. Now, is it possible for white men to love black women? Of course it's possible. But generally, a lot of times, what they're trying to do is they're sowing their royal oats and they're trying to explore their curiosity. And they're using your cultural infatuation with them to seduce you. But after they're finished, they're going to do to you what Superhead did, what Bill Maher did to Superhead. You know, and then so she goes on, what was that when he was on TV? Michael Bayston. She didn't call him by name. She was smart enough not to call him by name. And she said, well, you know, most white men have a very deep strain of white racism in them. And, you know, they only date the black strippers so that when they get mad at you, you and your friends are ghetto. Well, she was talking about Mar, but she wouldn't call his name.
Okay.
So you will call out niggas in the press. And you can call out niggas on Vlad TV and all these hood documentaries. You'll call them out by name. But when it comes to the white man, when it comes to, you know, the motherfucker that's really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
The person, when it comes to the person that's really powerful, that can impose consequences and repercussions on your ass, you're silent as a mouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And in essence, that's what we're saying. We're saying that from a certain characteristic, when we do this power tricking or when we talk about these women in the context of power tricking, we impose those same type of consequences that on a miniature scale,
right,
that the white man imposes. Because the only thing he's exercising over those women is access to resources and financial security.
Exactly.
That's the only thing he's doing.
Right.
That's the only thing he's doing to get them hoes to act right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he called his bitch worthless and ghetto in public, threw her back out to the wolves, and she didn't mention anything about him. He mentioned shit. The niggas made a song and made up a moniker, which was Superhead, which they meant it to be, it was a complimentary type thing. It was a compliment, you know. And they pretty much were holding her up in esteem and she shitted on them. But the man that had the trick, the white trick, because that's what Bill Maher was. He was a power trick.
Exactly.
That's what he is.
Exactly.
But he had the ability to impose consequences and repercussions, and because there were consequences and repercussions that could be brought against her, she would not speak his name in public.
Mm. Damn. So, Dig, do you think that, due to the fact that me and you give white women, you know, their props as far as, you know, their culture's concerned for being just a little bit more family-oriented and having a little bit more sense as far as having social cohesion, you know, with their man and their children. You know, does that make us haters of black
Coons.
Women? Coons and haters of black women?
No. Yeah. What, if I go out here, if you step outside your door and you observe an accident and the police come and you tell the police what happened, that you're relaying to the police information that you directly observed based upon a specific set of circumstances. Mm-hmm. You saw that car run the light and hit that car.
Right.
That's what happened. You don't hate the other driver. You just saw him. You just saw that guy ran the light. You don't have anything against it. You just saw him run the light and hit that car.
Yeah.
Period. You see what I'm saying? So when we're dealing with this analysis of white women, there is no hatred to say and to understand that in the white community there is a structure.
Right.
The white community is not run by matriarchy. The white community is patriarchal. And in that patriarchal structure, everybody has roles, duties, and responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And because people in that society have roles, duties, and responsibilities, everything is defined. Everybody knows their role in terms of the family. Everybody knows their role, and everybody fulfills their role. Now, are we saying it's perfect? No, but it's much better than the shit that we got in our community.
Right.
You see? So when we make the analysis of the white woman, or when we trumpet the virtues of white women, we're looking at those white women that have a certain behavior based upon the rules, responsibilities, and duties in their communities.
Mm.
And what the lack of roles, responsibilities, and duties that we have in our community. You can understand, you're making that description. Because there's structure and order and discipline, there's certain things that women don't do.
Okay.
In that community, as when it comes to men, you won't see too many white women jumping up and trying to go toe to toe with their man.
Right. Hey, did you hear my latest podcast on YouTube about the date I had?
Yeah.
Oh my God, man, nigga, you were so right. Man, boy, it was scary, man, when I was out on a date with that broad, man. All the shit that you were saying, you know, that would and could transpire with this chick. Even though, of course, in the back of my mind, I knew that this was happening. But, you know, just hearing you flesh it out. And, of course, you know, me being the optimist, you know, I always want to, you know, give a bitch a benefit of the doubt. But good
you
Lord,
you and
your
dreams of coexistence, Charles.
Man, she was every step of the way. She was trying to take charge, nigga. God damn. I'm like, Jesus, man. I'm like, she always had something slick to say. Bruh, I mean, I knew I was in trouble from the first joint, man, when I stepped out my apartment and we was going to take her ride, right? So I figure I'm going to be a gentleman. I'm like, she done came over here to pick me up. So, you know, I offered to drive her vehicle, you know, chauffeur her around. She took that as an insult. She was like, because I told you, she got this phrase about paying dues. She was like, you ain't paid them dues. I'm like, bitch, I'm trying to help you. You know, I'm trying to be a gentleman by taking the keys to, because she got an SUV, nice little SUV, can't remember what the fuck it is, but you know, I'm going to drive her to the mall and, you know, to the restaurant and shit. You know, I'm going to do the labor. But this bitch, I guess she on this, I'm a strong, independent black woman. I guess she thought that I was trying to, you know, flex or, you know,
flodge.
You say what?
What that?
What was that? What was it, homie?
Look, man, when you're dealing with a female like that, like I told you, you have to understand their experience. I told you that girl is one of us.
Right.
But she has the worst instincts. She has the worst drawbacks and the worst effects of being a power. Because that's what she is. She's a power trick. She's not a hoe.
Right.
She's a power trick.
Right.
So what she's trying to do is she's trying to show you her importance.
Okay.
She's trying to show you that it's a privilege for you to even fuck with her, but realistically, it's exactly the opposite.
Right.
That type of girl, 40 years old, she got a corporation or government job,
right,
9 times out of 10.
Right.
So she has that sort of alpha female personality, which is ridiculous because that's an oxymoron, alpha female.
Right.
But what's happening here is this. She doesn't want to show any type of... It's not about being strong.
Okay.
Matter of fact, it's the opposite. What she wants to do, she wants to like sliding down a razor blade and landing into an alcohol river. Because this is the type of woman that will look for a man that she can dominate. Mm-hmm. But when she finds that kind of man, she's going to be totally miserable.
Exactly.
And what will happen with you is you are not that. You got to prove yourself to her. It mm-hmm. wasn't about her being strong. When she said you ain't paid no dues, she trying to test you out to see if you the average nigga.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. most niggas are really, I'm just telling you, most niggas, what they really trying to do, they trying to come in there on that gentleman role. Mm-hmm. They trying to come in there on that gentleman role, break her down, come in there, try to find that she needs some money, break her down, fuck her, and then switch it up, and then she'll be catering to them.
Right.
You see, she's run into, that type of female has run into a lot of bum niggas.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? She's right. run into, she's had her generous share of bum niggas, just like we have our generous share of hood rats.
Right.
Well, she's had her share of bum niggas. You see? Okay. So now, in her mind, you haven't escaped bum nigga status. Okay. In her mind.
Yeah.
Okay, you have a brain. There's some intellect there. Okay, so now, that sets you apart from 80% of the niggas she's dealt with.
Right.
Okay? So now the next question becomes, okay, what is it you want? Who are you? Mm. That's what she want to know. Right. Who is it? Who are you? What do you want? And so what she wants to do is to establish a pecking order in the relationship, whereas you won't take her loneliness as a sign of desperation.
Okay.
When it is desperation. Because that bitch is lonely.
Right.
She's lonely as fuck. Mm. But she want to see some type of commitment from you before she break all the way down.
Right.
And I told you, if you go that line. See, I knew you were going to stay in that relationship because that's not you. You're not going to sing and dance when that bitch wants you to sing and dance. You're not going to jump on the string like that.
Right.
And that's what she's requiring. She wants a certain breaking process. And that breaking process is just to show that you're no threat to her.
Right.
She want to make sure that you're not trying to run game on her. That's all that is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about being strong. It's actually kind of weak. Because what is it you say? The only way to show that you trust someone is to trust them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, from her perspective, she always say what we say. It's not that I don't trust you. It's that I can't afford to trust you.
Okay.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
So the concept is to see, okay, well, you're an intelligent guy. Okay, you don't have a bunch of baby mamas. Just who the fuck are you?
Mm-hmm.
You see,
yeah.
And then once you fucked that girl, it was really over. You thought it was bad on that date.
Mm-hmm.
If you fucked that girl, it's really over. Because she's really going to start trying to assert some kind of control and authority. It's going to become more because you're opening her up emotionally. She doesn't have a lot of she don't know how to deal with men emotionally. The only way she knows how to deal with men is through her pocketbook. The
mm-hmm.
only way she knows how to deal with men is through being assertive. The only way she knows how to deal with men is through trying to take charge. Now, she ain't gonna do that with the white man.
Okay.
But she'll do that with you.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, she a little bit chunky. White mm-hmm. men ain't really checking for her like that.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. If they fucking with her, she a fetish.
Right.
Okay, you the little sexy, little big BBW, black bitch who they just trying to satisfy their curiosities, but they ain't really trying that long term with her. She's a fetish.
Mm-hmm.
So she can't fit in that world, and then the other side, the bum niggas, she don't want them either, and them the ones that are attracted to her, but then she got the ones that she's attracted to, and they're also bum niggas, and they ain't about shit, so now what she's trying to do is lower her expectations,
mm-hmm.
but in lowering her, in her mind, she's trying to lower her expectations, but what she's saying is that if she drops down to deal with you, you have to dance according to her tune, because she don't know if you're a threat yet.
Mm-hmm.
She don't know what kind of nigga you are. She don't know what kind of game you gonna run on her. That's what she mean by paying dues. She's trying to pull apart your psyche and see who you are as an individual.
Mm.
But the thing that's involved in that process is that she gotta break you down first.
She fucking with the wrong one, man.
She fucking with the wrong one. She fucking with the wrong one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But she don't know that.
Yeah, she don't know that.
She don't know that. That's why she get pissed off when you won't text back.
Right. Shit, man, because she done text me about two or three times, you know, since we had the date. On the third text, I finally hit her back, man, you know, because I've been kind of debating whether I should even keep fucking with her, man. You know what I mean? Because just a big-ass headache, man. You know, once you do this power trick and shit, man, it is hard to revert back to some square shit, man. It is super hard to revert back to some square shit. You know what I mean? Because, like I said, it was just every step of the way, man. This bitch was just, man, she was neck rolling and fucking finger snapping. I was like, oh, my God, man. I'm like, is this actually happening? Is this actually happening?
Her mannerisms is no different than the average chick we deal with. She just got a little bit more money. See, hood rat is not a socioeconomic condition. It is an experience, and it is a state of mind.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So when you're dealing with her, she's essentially no different than the rest of them. She just got a little money. In the black community, there are only two classes of people. There are the blue bloods or the black bourgeoisie, who, for all intents and purposes, are really into mainstream, you know, white men as far as dating is concerned. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is working class. So they reflect those working class morals, ethics, ideas, mannerisms, philosophies, and so forth and so on. That's why I beg to differ with Umar and the rest of them. They talk about the Civil Rights Movement produced all these bullshit. The Civil Rights Movement only cemented what was already there. There's the black bourgeoisie, and everybody else is the black working class. So because everybody fits in that black working class, we all imitate the same mannerisms, we listen to the same music, we're going on the same dates, we're dealing with the same people, we understand the same shit. So what's happening is, I say that to say that there is no real difference between them and the everyday hood rat on Section 8 in terms of their mannerisms and how they react towards black men.
Shit, and you're right on the aspect of, you know, from a psychological standpoint, she was putting a little too much effort in trying to differentiate herself from the hood rat. Because on like five separate occasions through the date, she told me that I could tell you used to dealing with them hood rats. I ain't no hood. She wanted to make it perfectly clear that I wasn't dealing with a hood rat, that she was above the rat. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, where the fuck did this come from? You know, because I told this, for those who don't know, because I posted some of this shit on YouTube, but for those who didn't hear the YouTube episode, I was trying to buy a fucking silver chain, and I pull out my money to buy the chain from the vendor, and I'm about to hand him the money, and this chick is like, you're not going to ask him, can you get a discount for just, you know, using straight cash? I'm like, nah, it's all good. You know, I don't give a fuck about no $5 discount or whatever. Fuck it. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't good enough for her. You know what I mean? She's going to take charge. You know what I mean? So she's like, excuse me, can he get a discount? I'm like, bitch, I'm thinking to myself, I said it's okay. Say what?
Hood rat shit.
Yeah, like, I don't need your help to buy this chain, bitch. You know what I mean? And so through the whole date, man, it was just like every time I would say something to her, she would get real defensive thinking that I was equating her with a hood rat. I'm like, where is this coming from? I'm like, shit, you know, when I was about to fuck around in her hair and shit, man, somehow it got to hood rat status again. She was like, just because, you know, I won't let you play in my hair and I got a weave, you know what I mean? That don't mean that I'm beneath you, and I don't mean I'm ghetto. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I just asked, you know, is this your hair?
She is ghetto. Angry Man talked about this.
Right.
And he was absolutely right. Angry Man said that when it comes to niggas with tattoos, they're forever stigmatized. Hood niggas are forever stigmatized.
Right.
But a black woman can have tattoos, go in there, comb her hair, put on some nice clothes, and fit right into the establishment and get a job.
Right.
Now, Class B is the group I'm really going to spend time talking about in this video. This is a group that doesn't get a lot of attention, and they usually get confused with the first group, okay? Unjustly. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm not going to say who, but it was a brother who was close to me. We grew up together. Now, this brother is what the black community would call a square, okay? He liked playing chess. during in high school. He loved chess in middle school, loved chess. And he was on the chess team and shit like that. He liked playing the video games, like those technical ass video games that I can't play, man. That shit, like, you know, all that technical shit, man. Not, you know, I used to play sports video games and shit, but he liked all that technical shit, you know. He liked to read different books and poetry, and he was a very learned brother. He liked fine art and shit like that, even in high school, you know. He liked all that kind of shit. And I used to try to, you know, we'd go out with chicks, and I used to try to, you know, hook him up. You know, hook him up with different girls, you know, black girls around the way that I used to fuck with or I knew of. And he would go out on dates with these chicks, and these chicks just didn't like him. You know, they were able to talk about him when they got back. He's weird, you know, he's corny, and he act like a white boy and all that kind of shit, you know what I'm saying? Because this brother did things differently than what you were accustomed to. The Negroes that you were accustomed to, he didn't sag his pants. He wasn't no thug, you know what I mean? So he did things differently. He wasn't the stereotypical black man of what the media tells you a black man is supposed to be. He didn't do that, you know. He even listened to classical music and shit. He was just he was on a higher intelligence level than his peers, I should say that. Black women didn't like him. I saw this firsthand, okay? But consistently, women that did like him were white women, right? White girls in school used to always like him. And he would turn down the white girls because he wanted, you know, a black girl. You know what I'm saying? And he had a hard time finding a black girl who shared his interests, okay? And I, after high school, I remember he started dating this white girl who always liked him during high school. And today they're married and they got kids and, you know, he's happy, you know. But it's interesting now, though, because he's, you know, he's doing well for himself. But now all of a sudden black women like him. Now black women want him because, you know, and he's doing well, got a nice ride and shit like that, and got home. And now he's attractive to black women. I don't understand why. Why? You know what I'm saying? See, this is the B group. You understand? And this is the group that people call sellouts and Uncle Toms when they're not. Okay? This man has a right to be in love. He has a right to be happy. Okay? He can't put his life on hold waiting for the perfect black woman to come along. You understand? He has a right to his own individual happiness. He does. And I don't consider that brother a sellout or any of that shit. You know what I mean? People got a right to date who the fuck they want to. That's none of my fucking business. It doesn't affect my home. You understand? But that's the B group that I'm going to discuss. You have black men as well who have dated black women and been in married to black women, been in many relationships with black women, and they've grown tired of a lot of sisters, you know, and I really can't blame them. You know, I think sometimes they go a little hard on the sisters, but in listening to these brothers' grievances, I can't be mad at them. Some of the shit they say, you know, because I've seen it firsthand and I know a lot of it is true. Black women tend to be very argumentative. They tend to be very obnoxious. They can be very masculine, man. That's the key too, man. A lot of black women tend to be very masculine. They can look beautiful and gorgeous, and then they open their mouth and just sound like a dude. How many times have you just seen this beautiful woman? Like, I'm gonna tell you a story. I seen this girl in Walgreens one time. I walked in the store, and I seen her in line, and she was like, she had to be one of the most beautiful women I ever seen in my life, man. I mean, her skin complexion was flawless. Like a fucking real life milk chocolate candy bar or some shit, man. Okay, just flawless. No blemishes, no pimples, nothing. She had on like this sundress, you know what I'm saying? You know, them sundresses be bringing that ass out. Her ass was out there. She had these micro braids in her hair, and the ponytail was just gorgeous. Oh my goodness, man. Eyelashes and her bone structure, man. She was just fucking, I couldn't believe, I thought she was like a model or some shit. So I admit, I was like staring at her like in awe, like, damn, this woman fine. Right, and while I'm admiring her beauty, this woman turns and looks at me and say, "Damn, nigga, the fuck you looking at? God damn, you wanna take a picture, nigga? What the fuck you looking at, nigga?"
Yo, after the night, don't leave your girl around me. True player for real. That's my nigga for real. Come on, that's how it's going down. Real. my nigga for real. Let him know.
Situations will arise in our lives, but you gotta be smart about it. Celebrations with the guys I sacrificed, 'cause I knew you could not sleep without it. Meanwhile,
show you where, okay, she thinks
thinks that the hood rats, and that's this misconception, you think that the hood rats are necessarily weak.
Right.
Whereas with men like us, it's the exact opposite.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? Because they're defiant, they're belligerent, you know. They got slick and greasy ass attitudes and slick ass mouths.
Mm-hmm.
You see, but that's except to a G-nigga, because a G-nigga can't inflict consequences.
Right.
For they slick ass mouth. That's why I love doing domestic violence cases, because I know what that is. Mm-hmm. I love to do a domestic violence bond, because I know what really happened.
Mm.
You know, that nigga imposed his own hood version of Sharia law on your ass, because your mouth got too slick.
Right.
And you ain't finna lock him up. Because you know you need that discipline. Yeah, it's fucked up. Yeah, he slapped you in the mouth. They probably put a ring around your eye. And if I recall, one of your freaks had a ring around your eye and wound up doing a shoot. But anyway.
Yep. Hey, yeah, man. She was barking orders at me at the restaurant in the parking lot, man. Shit. Mm-hmm. You know, she went to the bathroom and we was about to leave. And my phone rang. It was the side trickster. He called me. And I don't want to put shit on speakerphone, because, you know, Side Trickster, he going to tell me his latest conquest of fucking a bitch, you know? Mm-hmm. So I can't really hear what's going on the phone, so...
And I didn't do nothing but make her suspicious. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I went outside, you know, because she was still in the goddamn bathroom. I went outside, talked to the Side Trickster. Evidently, she come out the bathroom, and she probably still think I'm in the restaurant. I guess, you know, it didn't dawn on her to look outside to see if I was outside. So from what she tell me, she waited an additional 5 minutes in the lobby for me. And I guess that pissed her off when she found out I was outside. And I'm still talking on the phone. And, man, this bitch snapped on me, man. This bitch went off. She was like, oh, yeah, I can definitely tell. You used to dealing with some rats. I could definitely tell. She's like, a true gentleman wouldn't just leave out and just leave me standing there looking stupid. And I'm like, God damn. I'm like, I'm on the phone. She's like, I don't care. That's not what a gentleman does. She went the fuck off, man. I was like, wow. I'm like, man, this bitch has really been hurt in the past, man. She's really been hurt in the past, man. You know, because, you know, one thing we notice, especially with big chicks, man, big black chicks, they're to the extreme when they want to be validated and they want to be loved and they want to be acknowledged for being beautiful. You know what I mean? So they real extreme with that shit, man. You know, it's like, you're not just going to just leave me here looking stupid. You know, they real hypersensitive of being played. I also talked about how one of my partners, he seen me in the mall, and she was standing there, she was just salivating. She was just, I could tell she wanted me to introduce her as my date. You know what I mean? She wanted to be acknowledged. She wanted me to basically show how beautiful she was. You know what I mean? Because I'm going to claim her. Man, I straight fucking ignored the shit out that bitch. She was heated about that shit. You know, she was getting on my nerves so bad. I'm like, man, I'm not even going to introduce this bitch, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm just talking about partner. I'm going to goddamn let this bitch know. You ain't no bitch. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get a little greasy on your ass right now. Because she was waiting on that acknowledgement. She's waiting on me to claim her. I didn't claim that bitch. You know what I mean? And she called herself trying to check me about that. I'm like, bitch, let's go eat some cookies or something. Shit.
Basically, you have a bitch that's behaving like a petulant child.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You have a bitch that's acting like a petulant child. Because realistically, let's be honest, she ain't at the top of no date pool.
Nah.
Even with her money. Matter of fact, her money makes her, I told you, she's a power trick.
Right.
She just don't know it. She's a trick. She can't be a hoe.
Right.
She's a trick. She's not at the top of any dating chain.
Mm.
So when the thing is, not only have you been dealing with rats, but it's apparent she's been dealing with rats too.
Right.
You see, when that's clear from her behavior, it's clear that you've been dealing with some hood rats.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely clear. So there are no dividends in that. There are no dividends. You would have had a better time with Becky than you would have had with her.
Oh, man. When I'm out with Becky, man, it's all good, son. There ain't no tension at all, man. You know, none, zero, man. But
why? Because in her community, Becky has a place.
Right.
And Becky stays. And it's only in the black community where, you know, they get all out of pocket and start snapping and neck rolling and trying to emasculate you and put you in check and all that bitchiness. You know, all that, what I call masculine bitchiness. You know, I'm not the one to be played. You don't do that to me. You know, you show me respect. Well, you basically showing me
that you weak.
That's what you're showing me.
Yeah.
You're showing me everything except why I should respect you. You're showing me that you've been abused. You're showing me, you know, why you need to be checked. You're showing me why you need to be played. You're showing me you basically done been, you know, you are playing the bitch. See, a woman like that will only attract bum niggas.
Right.
Because if a nigga has his money on deck,
right,
and he has all the things in his life that bring success and comfort, that's the last bitch he gonna fuck with.
Right.
He gonna be more discriminating. So the niggas that she want ain't checking for her.
Mm-hmm.
The niggas that she's attracted to are bum niggas, but the niggas she really want ain't even looking in her direction.
Mm-hmm.
So she's trying to date down, but what she's saying is, because I'm upset with you because I can't get what I want. So because I can't get what I want, you should be lucky to even fuck with me.
Mm.
That's really what she's saying.
Right.
Because, look, I'm high-powered. I got this job. I ain't got no kids. I'm a catch. No, bitch, you 45, overweight. You make some money, but I'm not particularly checking for you. You're not particularly hot. You're not smoking.
Right.
Okay, you got a little money, but I don't really want your money.
Mm-hmm.
That only attracts the bum niggas that want to fuck you.
Right.
I'm not a bum nigga.
Right.
So you really hold nothing for me. I'm not concerned about your degree. I'm not concerned about your job. Because I'm not a nigga that's trying to live off you.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So you can't pull that with me that you can pull with Man-Man and Duracell.
Mm-hmm.
And Jamar Quavius.
Okay.
See, Jamar Quavius and them would have, and even to a certain extent, they wouldn't have allowed that.
Right.
To a certain extent, they would have told that bitch to kick rocks.
Right.
You see, you can't use your job or your position to emasculate a nigga because you're afraid of getting played.
Hmm.
You know? Or you can't have the nigga you want, so you figure the nigga you dealing with got to dance to your tune because he's lucky to have you. No, it's backwards.
Hmm.
You lucky I'm out with you, even if I have no car. Because, see, you still have options. See, you can, here's the hook.
Right.
You can get pussy faster than she can get dick.
Right. Oh, man, that the day we went out, man, I was on the verge of canceling. Because I had two phone calls, man. And then once again, you know how we do, period. It's like, okay, I can spend this money. Because actually, the whole date was on me. You know what I mean? You know, I'm old school like that. If I go on a date with a bitch, you know, I will spring for the motherfucking the date and shit. So
absolutely.
So the date was, man, you know, with the movies, and like, Jay Alexander's was an expensive ass motherfucker, man. God damn, we spent,
and it was
like
a horrible date.
Yeah, horrible date.
Well,
like,
you could have stayed home, put that on a 40 spot.
Uh-huh.
And got your sack empty.
Shit, yeah, I think I spent like $125-$130 with food, the movie. Shit, you know,
go out and have that bad of a time.
Yeah, you know, it got okay at the end, man. She mellowed the fuck out, man. You know what I mean? She was like trying to do some more high school shit. Like I said, we was at the drive-in. She was all feeling on my thighs, and you know, she wanted me to make a move on her. But once again, boy, people don't understand with this power tricking, man. There ain't no thirst with us, man.
No.
Shit, there ain't no thirst.
Hey, you remember what I told you? Do not fuck that girl. When is the last time y'all heard a power trick say that? I'm gonna say that again slowly. Do not fuck that girl.
Man, I can tell, man. She gonna develop a strong bond. You know,
it's not a strong. It's more than a strong bond.
Because
see, once you fuck her, now you've made a commitment.
Right.
Once you in her mind, once you fucked her, it's a commitment now.
Mm-hmm.
So now she's gonna feel entitled to pop up at your door,
mm-hmm,
whenever she feels like it.
Right.
She's gonna want to go through your phone. You know, she's gonna want to investigate and research you thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
You see,
right?
All of that to put you in a square relationship with somebody who you really ain't that attracted to.
shit. Man, damn. Yeah, yeah. If she just got rid of that fucking attitude, man. Like I said, it started off pretty cool, man. Shit, she, you know, we have a lot of the same interests and tastes, man. It started off real good, but man, that bitch, it was, I don't know if she bipolar. Maybe she got some legitimate mental issues to go along with some of that insecurity, man. But she would go from 0 to 100, like, damn.
There's nothing, that girl is only dealing with the trauma of bad relationships.
Right.
That's all. She's dealt with some very, very, very bum, grimy-ass niggas. That's what the problem is. And she has the insecurities that she's 45 and she's a bit chunky. And she's not at the top of the food chain. That's all that's about.
So if we break that down, that makes us self-haters.
I guess so.
y'all hates black women.
I guess so.
I'm like, nah, just hitting you with the facts, man. That's all. But I also, you know, hear that you have some words of wisdom for the Becky also.
Yeah, yeah. You see, I was listening to your podcast. You right. said, I haven't figured this out. I can't believe you haven't figured this shit out yet. Okay?
Yeah.
Her daughter got a nigga living with her.
Right.
Okay? So this is a woman that was married to a dude for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
He worked for 2, laid up off her for 6.
Yeah.
She's a hard worker. She's a bum magnet.
Okay.
Becky is a bum magnet.
Okay.
But you notice Becky's disposition. I'm sorry if I'm going to piss you off, but I'm going to say it.
Mm-hmm.
You notice Becky's disposition is a little bit different. She's been in bad relationships, too.
Right.
It's clear she's been in. You can look at that and see she's been. If a nigga been laying up on her for six years and only been contributing for 2, this was a bum motherfucker.
Right.
Bum nigga. White dude. Bum nigga.
Yep.
See what I'm saying? Yeah. But the problem is she's never had, there's a certain type of curiosity. She's never dated black men. And she's a magnet. She just responds to overpowering, dominant, bum niggas.
Right.
Yeah. That's all it is. So now what's happening is she got a black man in the house with her daughter.
Right.
And I know she got to hear them fucking.
Right.
So there's a curiosity there.
Let's back up. Well, I don't think there's going to be a curiosity, so to speak, because actually I would be the 4th brother that she's dated. So she's been with brothers before.
Okay. Well, if she's been with brothers before.
Right.
Now, I assume that was after her marriages, right?
Yeah, that's after her marriage. After she got divorced.
So now the concept is this. She is a rest haven. For bomb niggas.
That's what it seemed like. I'm like,
she's a rest haven for bomb niggas.
Right.
She's one of these women that, like, she's what I call Florence Nightingale.
Okay.
She's what in that she likes to. She's a healer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she'll go find that little bird with a broken wing and try to heal it. You see, and that works if you got a motherfucker that's worth something.
Right.
9 times out of 10, when you trying to pick up and heal these niggas, I ain't going nowhere, shit.
Mm.
You know, she run into the wrong nigga. Like I said, the wrong nigga would take advantage of that.
Right.
They would do to her what niggas have done to the skillet.
Right.
But the skillet's in her, fuck that, I ain't dealing with that. You know, so if you ain't dealing with that, you need to just go on in your pocket and make an arrangement. But anyway, what has happened is she's a bum magnet.
Yeah.
She's a bum magnet. And that's what she's a woman that always wants to fix things.
Right.
She always wants to fix things. She's a healer. She always wants to fix things. So in dealing with you, some women can have that nurturing quality about them without being emasculating.
Right.
And that's what she is. This is not a woman. She don't have a dominant bone in her body. She's submissive and feminine to the core. But the motherfucker she's been dealing with just ain't about shit. You know, these white boys who spend their time getting drunk. These crackers that spend their time getting drunk, you know, at the neighborhood pub and bar. They ain't really doing anything. They're marginally employed, you know. And for all intents and purposes, they hood niggas. They just white, but they hood niggas.
Yeah. And the hood niggas, all them niggas, you know, pretty much play to the white and the black ones and shit.
Yeah. So at this point, she's had white hood niggas. She's had black hood niggas. I mean, it's just, there's no, it's, the color is not even relevant. Yeah. She just had just bad men. Mm-hmm. But the bad men always had a dominant personality.
Right.
They always were men that controlled things, and that's what she's used to. So now she's, well, how old is Becky now? How old is Becky?
She's 36.
36?
Yeah.
Okay, so she's 36 with four kids.
Mm-hmm.
So right now she's not in any type of high post-dating pool. Men are, the only type of men that are knocking down her door are other people that want to exploit her.
Right.
And I think she knows that. To a certain extent, she knows that. But she's trying to sell herself to the from the perspective that this is what you get by dealing with me. As far as her personality, I do think that she's on that healer. She's just one of these people that has good intentions, but those good intentions wind up doing her in.
So check this out, they man. You know how me and you do, man. We be data mining, man. When we talk to bitches, you know what I mean? We be data mining, right? So,
yeah.
Man, she was telling me about when she was with her husband, how this motherfucker, he was not working, but he would repeatedly kick her out the house. She would pack her shit and she would leave. He would kick. He ain't paying no bills. He ain't working. But he would be like, bitch, get out of my house.
Mm-hmm.
And she would pack her shit and leave.
And leave.
And I would crack up. I'm like, so you paying all the bills. You know, you feeding this motherfucker. He say, get out, and you left? She's like, yeah. I was like, oh, poor baby, man. I'm like, wow. You know,
what
I'm like.
That means to me.
Yeah.
And she's had a strong father figure.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah.
She accepts male authority without question.
Right. I'm tripping off that, man. I'm like, yeah, man. She is she ripe for the picking. If I was a grimy ass nigga, man, she is ripe for the picking, man. Mm.
Nigga, you could have moved in yesterday. All you had to do was go down there and lavish her with some attention, give her some dick, and you would be living in the house. But that's going to present a problem,
right?
Because see, it's already a nigga laying up on her.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's going to be your issue.
Shit.
It's already a little nigga laying up in the house, and you know if he laying up on her daughter, he ain't about shit.
Right?
How you move in with your girl's mom?
Yeah, because I asked her that. I'm like, so how long this nigga supposed to be staying there? She's like, well, I don't know. Once they graduate from high school, because I think, matter of fact, no, they graduated last year, but the daughter and the nigga's still there, right? But I'm like, well, ain't he supposed to, because she said he's supposed to have a football scholarship or some shit. And I'm like, well, when did he graduate? And when is he supposed to go in? You know, and she said they graduated just last year. I'm like, well, is he in college? Is he? She's like, well, she gave me some sort of song and dance. I'm like, oh my God, I could tell already this is gonna be some bullshit. And according to her, she said, and I might be inclined to believe this shit, man, because she was telling me stories about her daughter and how her daughter, she would be kind of like equivalent to a white skillet, where she's her daughter's like super duper domineering. You know what I mean? Kind of like a telly.
Yep.
Kind of like a white she-devil. And so she was saying, well, basically, what's that boy's name? I can't remember his name, but she said that the boy basically do whatever the daughter say, right? And so there's some weird shit going on in that house, man. I don't know necessarily what's going on, but I was telling him, I'm like, yeah, he shouldn't be there. He shouldn't be crashing there too long. He'd get comfortable and shit, you know what I mean? But
he done got comfortable.
Yeah, but the thing is, she don't seem to mind. She don't seem to care. You know what I mean? So I'm like, wow, man. Her liberal slant is, you know, this is going to be weird, man. You know what I mean? Because that whole house, you know, it could be problematic. You know what I mean?
It is problematic.
Yeah.
They don't could be. It is. You don't let no grown nigga, you don't let your daughter, and that's telling you something.
Right.
That she really does need a man. That's all that is.
Exactly.
That's telling you, because no man is going to sit here, no husband, no husband is worth a shit.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna let his daughter bring in no nigga and they lay up in their house.
Right.
Nobody does that.
Right.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody does that.
Mm-hmm.
So what that tells you, she's a bum nigga magnet.
Man.
That's all it is. She's a magnet for bum niggas. And so with her, and this woman, you're dealing with a woman that is completely submissive. And you know why she working? You know why she worked as, you know, the hours and shit that she worked? Because everybody's in her pocket.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody is in her pocket. Her daughter's, her daughter, and she said her daughter running that nigga. That's, her daughter ain't running that nigga.
Right. Okay.
It's not happening.
Okay.
Okay? What's happening is the nigga is running the household through the daughter.
Okay.
You understand?
Okay.
That boy is running that household. The her daughter is dominant with her. Her daughter is dominant with her. She is one of these weak ass liberals.
Right.
She's one of these weak ass compromising liberals. You know, she's a good, she don't want to hurt nobody. She don't want to cause no problems. But that's why she need a husband. That's a woman that is in need of a husband, because what they're doing is, and that explains why she don't have a problem coming up here to see you.
Right.
To see you're an escape. You're an escape from that.
Right.
They wearing that woman down with all that shit. She got her kids to tend to. Then on top of that, she take care of her grown daughter and her boyfriend.
Right.
That's not psychologically healthy. It's not psychologically healthy for anyone, but she's too timid to say anything. You see? And see, it's already one swinging dick in that house.
Right.
So if you go there, you can't, that's not for you.
Nah, hell no.
Because see, you are a person of dominion. You are a man of dominion. You're not going to go down there and watch that shit go down and submit to the dictates of some nigga that's crashing with her daughter. Because that's the nigga that's assert. He has more control over that house than she do, and she pays the bills.
Yeah, if I was to get serious with her, man, you know, I'd be like, hey, this nigga got to go.
And that ain't going to happen.
Right.
That ain't going to happen.
So
because now you're forcing her to choose between her daughter and her dude.
Yep.
You know, and her and her daughter and her daughter and her dude and you.
Yep.
And here's the killing part. At some point, you would probably win, but what would happen is that daughter, see, that nigga done infected that daughter.
Right.
These dusty niggas are like vampires. Once they bite a bitch, the contagion takes over and they turn them.
Right.
You know, so you would forever be fighting, even if she threw him out. That girl, he would constantly be using that girl, you know, to get in her mama's pockets, because that's what's happening. The nigga is slow pimping the mama through the daughter.
Right. Like I said, you know, I don't know what's going on down there, man, but, you know, it's fishy. I know it's fishy.
Well, it's simple. It's not really, it's simple. She's a rest haven for bombs.
Man.
That's all. And it's because she needs, I told you, some women want leadership, some women need leadership.
Yeah.
She needs a leader.
Man.
Yeah. That woman has to have a domineering force because she comes from the background of having a strong family unit.
Right.
And what she's doing in that environment, the only thing she's trying to do is recreate a family unit. That's the key to understanding a family unit. She wants a family unit. The problem is the type of family she has is kind of dysfunctional.
Oh, yeah, man.
It ain't kind of. It is dysfunctional. You know, so her daughter, there's a man in the house, but it's her daughter's man. That woman has to have that masculine presence.
Shit.
But there's no payoff with her daughter's man. She got to find one of her own. But the problem is any man, you know, any man that comes there, first of all, first rule of manhood, you don't move in with a woman. You move a woman in with you.
Yeah.
That's the first rule. So if you went down there, you would have to subject yourself to all that fuckery that's going on. And you and that nigga gonna clash.
You think?
Yeah, because you know you know how a nigga do it. He's sitting down there with his feet up. Running, you know, he running the rule of the roost. He running the house. He controlling everything. You know, and when you start figuring out how she spend her money, then you start see you will start to see why she works so much.
Right.
It makes sense why she would work so much. Because she's supporting grown-ass motherfuckers. He ain't got no job.
Man.
Waiting on a scholarship. If he graduated last year, he's supposed to have been in college.
Hell yeah. I like that. See what I'm saying? Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, that's telling you she's not exactly honest about what's going on.
Shit.
This is why she's selling herself. This is why she's sending the pictures. This is why she's sending the pictures of the food. This is why she's sending these. She's made, because she knows. Again, it goes back to what I said in the earlier podcast. Mm-hmm. She is selling the positive characteristics of dealing with her because she's realistic. She know ain't no real motherfucker gonna sit there. Nah, please. No real dude would come into a situation like that and date a woman like that long term.
Right.
And when I say real, I mean a man that has his shit together. Exactly. I mean a man that is together financially, physically, and otherwise. Right. There's no way a man will submit to something like that in that environment.
Because she told me the background of the boy. Shit, you know, I already knew what was wrong with that.
She said what?
I said she told me the background of the boy. She told me that the mother was a crack addict and the daddy is in prison for selling dope. And I'm like, ah, nigga. Shit, and then she trying to paint this boy out to be some sort of Boy Scout. I'm like, I doubt that.
He's not a Boy Scout.
Right.
They just running that on her.
Right.
She's just one of these white folks with a good heart.
Right.
I wouldn't even call her a phony white liberal. Mm-hmm. She's just one of these white folks with a good heart. But see, what will happen is, niggas like that will turn women like her into conservatives.
Right.
That's what will happen. See, when you start trying to open your heart with all this liberal bullshit, you have some people that will come in and turn you the other way. Mm-hmm. Just like, I'll give you an example. A lot of white people, it was this one white man, and maybe he probably was a racist to begin with. He was a white liberal. His name was David Horowitz.
Okay.
David Horowitz worked with the Black Panther Party. He worked in their programs. And he believed or said he believed, who knows, he believed or said he believed in the cause of the freedom of black people. Well, the Black Panther Party at that time in the 70s had been corrupted and they was on some criminal shit. And so because his commitment was so staunch and so firm, he went and got a white woman named Betty Van Patten to work with him in their programs, you know, doing the administrative duties, balancing the books and all of that stuff. You know, the money from their programs and from their contributors and, you know, contributors and people that donate or what have you. And she started seeing, when he brought her in, both of them were working, Betty Van Patten started seeing some irregularities on the books.
Okay.
She started seeing money was missing. Money started coming up missing. And she made the mistake of voicing that concern to the wrong people, and they found that woman in the bay. Somebody murdered that woman and threw her in the bay.
All right.
And so what happened is, because Horowitz had brought this woman in, and because she had gotten killed through her exchange or her contact, he saw what kind of criminality was involved in the Black Panther Party. He was totally revolted. He was repulsed.
All right.
You know, he was sickened by what he was a part of. He was sickened when he saw how grimy they had become. Here he was here believing in these ideas, and here he was here believing in all this shit, and to see that these had become nothing but petty criminals. And he bought somebody else in. He bought a wife. He bought his friend in. And in his mind, he got his friend killed. His convictions got his friend killed. And today, David Horowitz is a staunch conservative. He don't like nothing to do with liberalism. He don't want nothing to do with anything that's civil rights or black power, anything that is related to black power or liberation or civil rights. He is anti both of them.
Right.
He is firmly against that shit. So I say that to say the behavior of black people, and don't give me that shit about, you know, they're phony. They're not phony. You can't come in. Same thing with Charles Gary. Charles Gary saved Huey Newton from the gas chamber.
Right.
And then when Huey Newton started snorting cocaine and drinking alcohol and pimping and all that shit during the late,
wilding out, boy.
yeah. During the mid-70s when he was on all that bullshit, Huey Newton had a 17-year-old prostitute killed. Right. But he got off for it, but he did that shit.
Right.
You know, and when he started abusing people and abusing drugs and pimping women from a club in Oakland called the Lamp Post, when he started doing all that criminal shit, you know, that broke Charles Gary's heart because Charles Gary believed in him.
Right.
Charles Gary also defended Jim Jones. You see, so my point is that sometimes when people have these feelings of compassion, and these feelings, compassion is a big expense, when they have these feelings of compassion and sincerity and they believe in a principle and they run into the wrong people, those people can wound you so bad that you will go in the other direction. You will become a heartless motherfucker. And that's what's happening with her. She's there. Or that can happen with her.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened yet, apparently. But that can happen. She got this. Okay, she's trying to take care. She's trying to do the right thing and be compassionate. Okay, this boy came from bad circumstances. His mama's a crackhead. His dad is a dealer. So, you know, she's trying to do her part and show him some kindness and this, that, and the third. And here they are taking advantage of the one.
Yeah,
see,
man.
So what outlook would that have on her? And you said, well, she's still fucking black men. Okay, well, let me tell you something. People can fuck you and absolutely despise you.
Right.
You know, that they have a term for that. It's called hate fucking.
Right.
People can fuck you and still despise you. Or they can fuck you and still see you as an inferior being to them and their way of life.
Right.
So the fact that you're fucking somebody doesn't equate to any type of notion of equality. Okay?
Okay.
So you got this nigga down there laid up in her house, living off of her dime, sponging off of her daughter, you know, draining. I mean, what kind of image would she have of black men if that's all she's seen?
Right.
So now the real question is what kind of image does she have of you? The backdrop of all that she's dealt with.
The general theme she's getting from me is strength, because, you know, I've given her my background, and I think this is the main thing that really attracts her, is my military background, me working in the prison, and me dealing with the criminal element as far as my foster care, you know, me taking in gangbangers and disciplining them and all that kind of shit. And I got the general vibe that she wants me to be the stabilizing element in that house. I'm getting that vibe, man. She wants me to come down there and be, you know, not necessarily a provider, but a protector. You know what I mean?
Well, you would have to tear the house apart to do that.
Well, of course. Mm-hmm. And
before you build, you have to destroy.
Well, more than likely, I'm not going to do none of that shit. You know me, nigga. I'm, man, shit.
And you
know.
So you will be calling your old diehards.
Yeah. Man, I done paid my dues, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because just like you said, in order for me to go in there and clean house, I would basically have to create a mortal enemy with that daughter. You know what I'm saying?
And,
you know,
her nigga.
And, yeah, and I would have to be dealing with that shit, you know, in and out, you know, weeks, months,
that's
years.
That's some blindside shit.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I ain't trying to deal with that shit, nigga. You know what I mean? I'm like, nigga.
Power tricking. Every time you think you got out, they pull you back in.
Man, I'm trying to tell you, man. Shit. I had two of them call me the day of that date, man. I was like, no, give it a chance, man. Give it a chance. And, you know, and the odd thing is, even with all that stupid skillet shit, man, I've developed a soft spot for her because, just like you said, man, I've seen a lot of her in me. You know what I mean? I've seen a lot of her in me. It was just like, you know, she can't understand why she's not valued. You know what I mean? I could see the puzzle
on her face. And like I said, I see her being hurt. Not to mention the fact that I like, God damn, when she put it in that CD, was playing them goddamn retro hip hop breakdance songs. I'm like, this is weird, man. Like, I was like, damn, that something as simple as that made me grow an affinity for her, man. You know what I mean? So I'm not necessarily saying I'm going to have a full-blown legitimate relationship with this bitch, but I ain't going to write her off, man. I'm going to fuck with her for a little bit, man. And I'm going to take your advice
on... Well, I'm telling you have to be careful.
Just don't fuck her, Charles.
Because I'm telling you, when you start fucking that girl on a regular basis, yeah, all that shit changes. Because that girl doesn't have experience. She doesn't have a whole lot of experience dealing with men emotionally.
Right.
She doesn't. Mm. And you start fucking that girl and you relate to her. She can already relate. You can't seduce this girl with money.
Right.
You can't seduce this girl with looks. Mm. You can't seduce this girl with clothes. Right. The only way to fuck this girl is with your mind.
Mm-hmm. And I've already done that.
Once you do that, her clothes are going to come off automatically. And when they come off, that's going to impose a whole new obligation on you. That means you thought she got pissed at you for not texting back in 3 hours. You she gonna get pissed at you if you don't text back in 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because now you are in a position to really harm her, mm-hmm, and she doesn't want to be made a fool out of by trusting you.
Right.
Proceed at your own peril.
Man, okay, man, duly noted. That warning is duly noted. We're gonna have to go on to the next topic, but before I leave,
I know how this is gonna turn out, but I'll be listening. Okay. When you do a single podcast, go ahead.
Yeah, but let me go ahead and cap that off, man. Basically, no, I do not hate black women. I repeat, I do not hate black women. I have never had a legitimate relationship with a white woman. I've boned plenty, but I've never had a relationship with them. So, man, y'all niggas need to stop being so emotional about that shit. We, you know, we can critique black women because basically, nigga, they fucking up. And in order to kind of like level the playing field, man, as far as trying to get these bras to do the right thing, you know, we have to compare and contrast other races and other cultures. And we have to show what they're doing wrong. Shit, it's just simple as that. So if you in your feelings about us showing that, you know, white women that come from patriarchal family units, you know, if your feelings is hurt about us pointing that out, then nigga, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? Not necessarily saying that to you, Keon, man, you know, because you was respectful on that shit. But still, man, you know, that's how we rolling. Okay, so.
Speaking of black women, let's move on to Griff and Zaza Ali.
Okay, let's do that.
Let's
do that.
Sex style. Niggas want it free. They dog drink my piss. Sex style. Niggas want it free. They dog drink my piss. You want freestyle? That's right. The style is free. Niggas suck my dick and they girls drink my pee. I'm on some mess in them shit you can't get with. Pull your panties down on stage and watch you sweat quick. Suckers back to poor, they stylish, transsexual. Lesbians dancing with the funky heterosexual. You on the mic and when you rhyme I start to jerk off. Let my dog lick you German Shepherd wanna bust off. I tell you latex bottom C's having anal sex. Step around like a Tampax and step up next. I into New York, no problem with my dick out. California porno star, my ass you can lick out. Saying what with sperm dripping down your partner's butt. I see them seizing my face with their ass up. Let me put my cape on, my rubber and my mask up. Not no horrible shit, this is pornocore. I'm in the club naked, man, I'm the fucking pro. Niggas can't wax no ass, girl should let them know. Sex style. Niggas want it free, they dogs drink my piss. Sex style. Niggas want it free, they dogs drink my piss. Sex style. Niggas want it free, they dogs drink my piss. Back I wreck shit, so what nigga? I masturbate, see your girls cock back, her legs tied like a figure eight. I'm on stage getting sucked by Madonna, sticking pipes in your ass, you stop the freestyle drama. I pioneered this shit, you keep on sucking dick, your girl in the crowd fucking me for a naked flick. I got my silk underwear for the atmosphere, piss in your face and urinate all in your hair. You name a group, that shit, I will poop a scoop. Fuck with this miss, I will damage on the premises. Niggas step back
with Axe Grease, watch their ass twist. I rhyme in, they go in the showers up in Greek Alley. Movie star bitches, MCs lining up in Cali. Drinking vodka, absolute sipping Tangeray. MCs jump off, I stung your rectum like a stingray. Girls, honey wipe, MCs say my shit is hype. Pussies collapse, I'd rather fucking whip a cordless mic. Come ride the horse, take your panties off and pay the course. Sex style! Niggas want it free, they dogs drink my piss. Sex style! Niggas want it free, they dogs drink my piss.
May they beat his balls with a 10-pound hammer till his asshole whistles the Star Spangled Banner.
Now the nurse is here, Dr. Butcher to your anus. I don't care who you are and if you think you famous. You could be whack, 75 fucking rap groups. Bisexuals on stage, eating Fruit Loops. Sugar smacks, I got the rhythm for your ass cracks. Bring your girl, she fantasize in my sex world. Sex style! Niggas want it free, they dogs drink my piss. Sex style! Niggas want it free, they dogs drink my piss.
We're talking about do we hate black women? We're talking about the Zaza Ali shit. We're talking about the Bambaataa. You know, pretty much nothing else to really say about the Zaza Ali and the Bambaataa. But I would definitely like for you to go ahead and recap about the accusation that we hate black women. What do you have to say about that before we leave, Tony?
That's bullshit. We don't hate black women. Matter of fact, those are the women that we are exclusively dating.
Exactly.
And again, we're making a distinction. This situation where they've idealized and romanticized the black woman, that has no basis in fact. It has no basis in reality. And you have to understand that the dating pool or the dating situation functions on a whole new different set of rules of engagement than what has been used before. So we're simply reacting to what's out here. We're stating what's out here, and it's based upon our observations and personal experiences. So if you're one that idealizes and romanticizes the idea of black women, you probably shouldn't be listening to us, because what we will do, we're just relating our experiences, and I would bet you that those are your experiences. I'm talking to the men. Right. Those are your experiences as well, if you would be truthful about it. So no, we don't hate black women. We're just criticizing what we love. There can be no great love where there is no great disappointment. And that's just the way we see it. We also are very critical of a lot of things that we've been taught to believe as far as dating is concerned. And we see that those things just aren't true. You know, they just don't work in every situation. And those are instances where women have a distinct, or black women or women in general, have a distinct advantage. And what we're saying is that it's time to reinterpret some of these rules. It's time to reinterpret some of these beliefs and these myths that we grew up believing. At the end of the day, that's what we're seeking to get people to do, to reexamine what you've been taught and see if there's any truth to it. That which is true, let it stand. That which is not true or does not work or is not practical, throw it out.
Bam. So that's it?
That's it.
That's it. All right, man. It's the Fat Mac Almighty Triple XL. You can check me out on iTunes. You can check me out on Stitcher. You can check me out on YouTube. Go to YouTube and type in Mac City Limits. Go to Google and type in Mac City Limits. You know what I mean? If you are listening to any of these shows via YouTube, like I said, I have hour-long podcasts on iTunes and Stitcher and on Liberated Syndicate. So, yeah, this is the Fat Mac Almighty Triple XL, and I'm here with my partner, man, nigga, Fucius Magneto, Tony Dreamer, man, and we out. We out. We out. We out.
They try to say California's plastic. I think New York got the most plastic niggas, too. Fuck all you niggas coming out to the Soul Training Wars with them pop-ass headsets around your ears like Britney Spears. That's some old Bobby Brown and New Edition shit. That's some old real Michael Jackson shit. I'm coming with Crazy Vic. Let me hear you trying to copy my shit. Fuck the
Impact Convention, cause there's a lot of corny niggas performing out there. Fat stomachs, makeup and eye glare, what the fuck do I care? Niggas with their ass out, groupies in cheap hotels trying to fucking crash out. Motherfuckers ain't networking, strippers checking in. Motherfuckers on motorcycles, pickup trucks with license plates on them, bringing mad shit from down south. Big after parties, I'ma turn my phone off, I don't wanna shake hands, meet no fucking body. Arrogant bastard, no commercial shit, break your neck, suck my dick in the world. Fuck the critics, everything I make is a hit. Fuck your Applehead motherfuckers trying to make some old Caribbean mix with that Trinity keyboard shit. Hip hop shit, that's some old Broadway musical shit. I don't even listen to that cartoon shit. Tell your aunt on his wife to get out my fucking life. 27 shots. 27 shots. 27 shots. Shut up, listen to my shit, cause your cassette single is gay. Right now, bullshit I hear on the radio by these homo niggas every day. But it's all sissy shit. I got the real, tell it like it is, pissy shit. Yo, shit is some fake ass gorilla coat shit. White suits, mansion, y'all scared ass nigga. Doing videos, buying models on some bullshit. I tell you straight, G, I can't fuck with it. Girl, still messing with you, your shit is whack. Any bitch in their right mind shouldn't have sex with you. Rusty nigga that don't use soap, I fuck around and piss all over your leather faggot ass trench coat. Don't ever act hardcore, use a suburban nigga, you get served. Nigga, you never even been in a fucking street fight. Look at your old photo album pictures. Use a bunch of hype. Kiss my ass. Nobody picked up the fucking mic. Untalented bitch like you, some wild ass inner city kid from the projects. Who's next? 27 shots. 27 shots. 27 shots. Literally disrespect all production out there. That bullshit niggas programming. Fuck Johnny Hammond, Sonny Stitch. That shit ain't getting you rich. Just a packed crowd, no bitches, a bunch of fucking dicks. I'd rather see some ass in a nice club with a fat ass. And all you motherfuckers acting like you Jamaican, American to the core, copying their shit on tour. Y'all niggas be against speakers with your ears sore. Stink ass boots with no socks on, fucking up the dance floor. Since when you ate codfish and meat patties? I got cousins with Jerry curls and caddies. 27 shots.